When is a computer chip a matter of national security? When it's made by Qualcomm and when Donald Trump is president? This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with a market analyst and journalist about Qualcomm's present and future situation when it comes to the sharp elbow world of building microprocessors. That conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening as always. Now, this next segment is about the biggest tech company business deal that never happened. It has to do with microchips and processors and the future of wireless technology, no less. Singapore-based Broadcom wanted to buy San Diego-based Qualcomm for about $117 billion, but the White House intervened, blocking the deal, citing national security concerns. The administration is looking to protect intellectual property and hardware that will, in essence, serve as the power and the brains behind 5G technology. Now, 5G is the tech that will fuel the massive processing power needs for artificial intelligence, driverless vehicles, virtual reality, the Internet of Things, and anything you want to do on your smartphone. The rumor mill is buzzing with other theories as well. One is that Intel, who largely missed out on the smartphone revolution, could buy Qualcomm, but they may not have the cash and leverage to put that $117 billion bid together because that set the market price even if the deal was quashed. Here's my interview with an industry analyst and journalist who follows Qualcomm.
Mike Swift, I'm the chief correspondent for MLEX's Digital Risk Service.
Yeah, chief correspondent. I'm going to ask you to put a little bit of an analytical hat on with this one because I want to be able to get my arms around it. Broadcom had entered a bid to buy Qualcomm. They're both chip makers, right? Microprocessors?
That's correct, yeah. This is really about 5G, which is the coming wireless standard that's going to really enable big leaps in things like virtual reality, driverless cars, and the Internet of Things. And Qualcomm was really a leader among the U.S. in really developing those technologies. They have a lot of patents in that area. And the fear was that Broadcom might choose to slash Qualcomm's R&D if they took control, and that would have ramifications for the whole U.S. economy because Qualcomm is such a leader among U.S. tech companies.
Right. And Qualcomm, it should be noted, was a former military contractor that spun out into the private sector and is headquartered in San Diego.
That's right. And it's actually very striking when you visit Qualcomm's headquarters. You walk in the front door and the whole wall is covered with plaques of Qualcomm people who have patents like on things for like airplane mode for wireless devices. And it's really a company that's really driven by innovation and patenting. And the Trump administration has really signaled very clearly this year in things like speeches by the new antitrust chief for the Justice Department, Machen Delrahim, that they are going to really try and protect that type of innovation and the IP that is coming from those inventions.
Okay, let's talk about IP for a second, too, because I think there needs to be context around that. So to do business in China, an American company has to have 50% ownership by somebody based or something based in China, including the government, and they have to share all intellectual property. That's the price of doing business in China. What this seems to be closer to doing is not opening the door for that opportunity, even though Broadcom is Singapore-based. It's not China-based. So what's the trip up there?
Well, I think there's real concern among the administration about Broadcom's ties to China. And, you know, beyond what U.S. companies are legally required to do when they want to do business in China is, you know, the fear of IP theft, which many people feel is really rampant, where, you know, Chinese hackers are breaking into systems and stealing, you know, U.S. trade secrets. And it's viewed as a big problem. I mean, I think people are seeing that this is really a signal that the Trump administration is willing to play a little hardball with China.
Yes, and that makes sense. And it's not unprecedented either. In the last 30 years or so, there have been five, including this one, blocks of deals with China. One previous one by President Trump with Lattice Semiconductor, and then two with President Barack Obama, and then one with George H.W. Bush. All five have to do with China. So this is a kind of a well-worn block and tackle. But Broadcom now says it wants to re-domicile into the United States to get out from underneath what is called CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, and that's the one who raised the flag about this deal, right? So let's talk a little bit about mass first, because Qualcomm has and wireless processors in at least half of all smartphones on the planet. Isn't that worth blocking and tackling for?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, it's a critical industry. When you look at how essentially commerce in the future, it's going to be almost, it seems, exclusively online. I mean, you know, the degree to which you now use your smartphone to pay for transactions through NFC chips and things like that. I mean, Qualcomm is really a leader in developing that technology beyond just CPUs, their Snapdragon processors. And it is a critically important technology for the U.S. And you know, obviously, the administration feels like it's worth protecting.
Let's take a business angle at it, because I'm hearing and seeing reporting that Intel might have the door open for a merger here with Qualcomm before Broadcom gets another swing at the plate if they re-domicile in the United States. What are you seeing about any kind of business-related stuff, at least here domestically?
Yeah, those rumors are out there about Intel being interested in a bid for Qualcomm. You know, this morning, Broadcom formally withdrew its $117 billion bid for Qualcomm, which would have been the biggest tech acquisition of all time. One could assume that if Intel was to make a bid, it would be even larger. We don't know that. We don't know if there are other suitors, other U.S. companies that might be interested in Qualcomm as well. The other thing that you're seeing is that Apple and other companies are increasingly trying to, you know, develop, and Google as well, are developing their chip technology in-house.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned Apple and Google there, because they're trying to control their supply chain, right? They're trying to stay as vertical as possible with their hardware. Intel, the reason I find that interesting is that it would be playing catch-up. It kind of missed out on the processing game up until now with smartphones. What you said at the top of the interview, which was salient, was the 5G that's coming, the processing power it takes to have artificial intelligence, driverless cars, drones, all new transportation gear, and all the financing, like you mentioned, that's going to be done on the internet.
Right. You know, and the other thing about 5G is that there's a tremendous infrastructure that needs to be installed, you know, out in the nation's streets and spaces where, you know, you're going to have thousands, many hundreds of thousands of smaller base stations, which many more base stations than you have under the current 4G LTE technology. So, you know, that's going to be really a transformative thing that's going to have to happen across the country in the next few years. But you're also seeing, as you said, you know, there's a huge conflict between Apple and Qualcomm going on about Qualcomm's licensing practices. And, you know, it really sort of underscores the value of this technology. Whether Apple or Qualcomm prevails in that struggle remains to be seen, but clearly there is a huge amount of money and investment at stake here.
Yeah, there's hundreds of millions of dollars at stake with the Apple versus Qualcomm court battle that you just mentioned right there. Can you give us a quick summary of where that sits right now?
There are multiple suits. There are lawsuits in the Northern District of California in San Jose. And then there's the key conflict is really in San Diego federal court. That's the suit between Apple and Qualcomm, and then related suits involving the companies that manufacture the iPhone and other Apple devices in China. So what's happening right now is that the parties are in the discovery mode, where they are basically collecting evidence that will be used in, you know, final motions and potentially a trial next year. So we're in a little bit of a holding pattern. What's happening now is really behind-the-scenes stuff. There's not that much happening in the courtrooms. Things will be heating up in the next few months, though.
I'd like to summarize real quick the Qualcomm-Broadcom thing from my interpretation, which is by doing this, by blocking the deal, we are saying that American innovation, writ large, innovation is our best thing and we will protect it. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, we're basically saying that we have to protect this company, which is really kind of carrying the banner for the development of 5G, and that while in the past the development of telecommunications standards has been a very international thing that has really been based on engineering prowess, increasingly politics is being injected into that process, and that, you know, there's a danger in sort of having no home-based company that's a leader in that, and clearly a decision has been made by the administration that, you know, Qualcomm's place there needs to be protected.
Well, Mike Swift, this is your bailiwick. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Jason.
That was Mike Swift of MLEX.com. Mike covers Qualcomm and other tech companies with an eye on the courts as well as on the next generation of technology. For a link to his articles, you can check out the show notes for this week. They live at KGORadio.com. And that's going to do it for this week's broadcast. The podcast lives forever. This show and all of them, actually, online at iTunes, Stitcher, and Audio Boom. You can also find them at KGORadio.com/Techonomics. We also keep a presence at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. That's where we post the music we use for each show as well. As we were prepping this week's show, news of the death of Stephen Hawking came across, of course. Hawking is a legendary human being whose prolific career is astounding and will live forever. Next week, we have one of his colleagues on the show. Dr. Michio Kaku mentions Dr. Hawking by name in our interview, so we hope you'll find us for those segments. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, I am the host and the writer Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics, and have great weeks, everybody.